Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second hour is live, and we appreciate you being a part of the program. Let's share some more information with you about what is happening. Heading to the next level, Zamir White from Georgia. Sign Mechie is leaving. So is Slade Bolden. So that on top of Williams, Mechie, and Bolden, Alabama's top three receivers. And we saw the drop off. Toa Toto is staying. Dale Battle and Christopher Smith. So at least a little good news at Alabama. And let's get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Tanner is in Georgia. Hello, Tanner.
How you doing there, brother?
We're doing great.
To talk to you about good to hear that conditioning. I thought it was interesting that both of Alabama's wide receiver got injured playing Georgia. And as you know, it pissed some people off after the SEC game, right?
Right.
And they were going, we got to get to work. And for 37 days, they hit it. And I was just wondering what conditioning may have attributed to John Mechie and Jameson Williams' injuries. And why did it happen? Weird. Yeah, I don't know.
The Williams injury to me, being an ACL, I think that just happens. I was talking to a trainer the other day, and a lot of ACLs occur non-contact. So I think it would be tough to attribute. I mean, these are two guys that are elite athletes, and I can't tell you why these things happen. Sometimes they're literally freak accidents, and freaky. Let's check in with Chris, who is in Texas. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, Paul? I'm a lifelong Aggie fan, and go back to the Jackie Sherrill years, and. You know, of course, I watched Kevin Sumlin hold court after the Manziel Heisman year on national championship night. And I was feeling really good about the Aggies' prospects at that point in time. And we all saw what happened there. And recently I saw Jimbo Fisher holding court with his coaching staff on national championship night. And I really am feeling hopeful there as well, but you know, of course, Aggies, we have to kind of temper our expectations based on history. Although we did beat Alabama this year, and of course, our recruiting class is considered number one. What are your thoughts going forward with Jimbo Fisher? Because I'm very optimistic, and I think that the Aggies are probably going to be right in there if the trend continues. And of course, we always hope that it will. We got the facilities and everything else working. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't be more excited about Jimbo and A&M. I caught a couple of minutes after the fact on the megacast, and I thought he was very funny. And that was a great, you're talking about 500,000 to 1 million people watching. That was a great advertisement for the Aggies, and they will be a top five team next year, and I think it's on. This year, in spite of beating Alabama, turned out to be a disappointment. Which I think just shows you how much he has going in Aggie land. Thank you for the call. Robert is calling next in Georgia. Robert, thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you taking my call. I've been trying to get you a long time, so guess what? You're still the most sought-after man in show business, okay?
Well, thank you.
Even though the season's over, you're still the hardest man to get. Well, thank you, Paul. I've got a question I want to ask you, and I've been wanting to ask you a long time. There's no doubt, and it's not about how many championships has Nick Saban won at Alabama, okay? That's immaterial, okay? Because everybody that's got a nickel brain knows last 15 years He's the greatest. He's the GOAT. No doubt about it. He's the man. Since he came in Alabama, he's put on a show that nobody has ever seen before, and he's going to continue. It looks like because he looks good at his age, and he keeps that spirit going, and he's going to be all right. So that's not the question. The question I have for the Alabama people that are knowledgeable, like number one, I would say you would be you, and maybe one of your brother-in-laws, like Legend or somebody else, if you couldn't answer it. But my question is, why was Alabama so putrid and terrible before Nick Saban came to Tuscaloosa? That's what I just can't – I can't. Anybody's never answered that question for me, and I was wondering if you could answer
Robert,
that for
you,
me. I'm not pulling anybody's leg.
There are not many people – there are not many things I feel like I'm qualified to talk about, but I am qualified to talk about that because I lived through every one of those days as a newspaper columnist and a talk show host in Birmingham. Quick history lesson, not that anybody wants it, but you know, Coach Bryant left in 82. He died in 83. And what happened next was a collection was a comedy of errors. Alabama really had a good coach for 4 years in Ray Perkins. He left to go to Tampa Bay, and that's when the real problem started. Bill Curry came in, and Bill Curry, I think, I respect Bill Curry as a coach, and he had a very good last season, but he couldn't beat Auburn, which led to Gene Stallings. And little known fact, I say little known, everybody in Alabama knows it, but Alabama didn't win a national championship in 1992, and then the school ran Stallings off. And instead of allowing him to do his job, there was interference. And interference is the reason Alabama went into the dark side, because there were too many people trying to run the football program in the athletic department, which led to Mike Dubose, who got fired, which led to Dennis Franchione, who hated it so much he bailed after 2 years, which led to Mike Price, who never got to the first game because he got fired, which led to Mike Shula, who was an abject disaster, which led to Nick Saban. And what Nick Saban said before he took the job, he told Mal Moore, listen, Mal, I want to report to you. I don't want to deal with any of these other people. He used stronger language. And when Nick Saban went around to booster clubs, the Red Elephant clubs or whatever, he used the strongest possible language in telling these people. And by the way, Robert, these weren't just average folks. These were the creme de la creme, the people that had skyboxes and gave money to the university. He told them to stay the blank out of his way. He was going to do it way. And for the first time since Coach Bryant, there was one man, one voice at the university, and that's why they are where they are today.
I knew, Paul, that you'd be right on spot with it. That's why I wanted to ask you all these times I'm trying to get through to you. But because I think the Alabama people need to wake up, because just like Pete Carroll out there, before Pete Carroll and after Pete Carroll, the mighty USC Trojans are terrible. I mean, just ridiculous. And I just don't understand it with all the athletes around that town and that state.
And Robert, one other thing, he didn't just lecture the boosters. He lectured the media. I was not at these meetings, but he had meetings with a collection of Alabama writers and broadcasters, and he basically told them the same thing, that if they wanted anything to do with the University of Alabama football program, that they were going to abide by his rules, and he was not going to abide by them. He intimidated all of them. He got great coverage. And by the way, he deserved great coverage, but maybe he didn't on the first day. But it was an extraordinary period. Books have been written. Books will continue to be written. And he just had to do it his way. He got away with it because he was the best.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. I knew you'd answer it, and I wanted to let you know that, I just can't wait to 3 o'clock every day over here in Georgia to get to see your show because about a few years back, I lost my left leg. And instead of going to every one of the home and away games for Georgia, now I just have to watch it on TV and everything. But I'm doing good. The Lord has blessed me. I get to see my four grandkids play ball. And I appreciate
Robert,
your show.
I am
thank
so glad
so
to
much.
Hear that. And I cannot tell on behalf of everyone who works here, I can't thank you enough for what you said about us. We really appreciate that. And you be well. Thanks so much. We'll take a short break. A lot to do on our program this Friday afternoon. More guests will be dropping by. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and glad you were here on a Friday. Yep, Friday, first Friday of the postseason has arrived. Tim is in Birmingham, and you are on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Got a question. Football season's over, but curiosity. You appear to have spent a fair amount of time with Tim Cook. Just the clips they show on your show,
right,
going into it and everything. Just, is the guy nice? He appears to be down to earth, being in the position that he's in. And as an Auburn alum, why the hell isn't he on our board of directors?
Your last question is one of the best I've ever heard. I will tell you that I've been very fortunate here to meet a lot of people. I would put him at the very top of the list of anyone I have met through my work. I happened to run into him about 6 or 7 years ago at the home of the athletic director at Auburn, and we ended up talking. And he had his 11-year-old nephew with him, and we ended up sitting together. And I would say that hour and a half or 2 hours with the two of them was one of the most enjoyable times I've ever had, and I learned more. And we ended up, because of that, becoming friends. And we ended up doing a documentary on him a couple of years ago, which allowed us to spend 2 days with him. I've had the occasion to be with him a couple of other times in a social setting, and then we saw him again a few weeks ago. I mean, aside from that, the idea that, for those who don't know much about Tim Cook, he did go to Auburn. He comes from Robertsdale, Alabama.
Right.
His father was, I believe, he worked on the Mobile docks. He got his MBA from Duke. He ended up, I think he was working for IBM when they found him at Apple. And he ended up becoming the number two guy to Steve Jobs, who at the time was the most successful CEO in the world. For those who don't know his story, he invented. Like, where do we begin here?
Yeah.
How about
the rest is history.
Well, yeah, let's start. Every Apple product, from the PowerBook to the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, what Tim Cook has done is so extraordinary because he took over, and most people don't succeed when you take over the greatest of all time. He's not only succeeded, but he's made Apple the most valuable company in the world.
One comment, then. I have 5 children. 2 went to Alabama, 2 went to Auburn, 1 went to Winthrop. I've been to 5 graduations. He spoke at one of my daughter's graduation at Auburn. He was the most impressive speaker I've ever heard of the 5 I have. And the theme that I got out of his speech that day was "Don't be afraid to fail."
Right.
And he had these kids enthralled at the Coliseum down at Auburn that day.
Tim, I will tell you, I have learned some of the things that I've learned from him. I have used in various conversations or lectures with students or anyone for that matter. And I just he's truly remarkable. And I just don't say that about many people. I mean, I'm impressed with a lot of people, but he is the most engaging person I've ever met.
He said in that speech when he left. I think it was at HP. You may be right. IBM, whichever.
One of those.
When he
yeah.
left to go to Apple, Apple was on his butt. And he had a great career going where he was, he said. And people said, "Are you crazy? This guy's a fanatic," meaning Steve Jobs. No one realizing what it was going to turn into. And obviously, the rest is history.
Well, I am so glad you asked me about him because I listened to him speak to the Auburn team one time when we were down there with him, and it was, it's not, sometimes it's not easy for a layperson to connect, and every one of those guys, I mean, their jaws were dropping.
I can believe it. Unbelievable. Why isn't he on the board?
Well, I don't know specifically, but I do know enough about Auburn to understand the politics of that board.
And, sadly.
And I'm pretty sure that has a lot to do with it. And, he's not the first powerful CEO that has been snubbed by the Auburn board. And he probably won't be the last, but he will be the most important.
Golly, unbelievable. You remember the Gibson Steakhouse bet?
I do,
me,
yes.
You and Legend? That was me.
So what I think he's on hold. Do you want me to, what would you like to communicate?
No. Legend's great. We won. You took care of your part. It was all good.
Well, Tim, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Legend is next.
Paul Feinbaum.
Hello.
Hey, I'd just like to apologize to you and your audience for how I acted the other day. I'm going through some things in my personal life, and I think I took it out on you. I shouldn't have said the things I said to you, and it was wrong. You know, I'm man enough to apologize. But I would like to make a couple things clear, if I could, and I promise I'll do it in a manner that's not offensive.
Well, Legend, before you go on, let me say, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate what you said. I'm more concerned about whatever you're going through, and I certainly I know everyone wishes you the absolute best in that. But you know this show. We don't take things too personally. I don't, at least. And we have had a lot of fun over the years. And the only thing I'll say further on that is I hope we continue to do that.
Well, I've always respected you, Paul, but man to man, what happened the other day was about them two rubes and Turner and Cooch in Boston. You know, it's cool to make fun. Hey, I run off at the mouth, Shannon, Red Dog. All them dudes have a right to bash me. Me and I-Man been like Hogan and Savage for 20 years. They got that right. Well, when I heard these rubes bash me, and then you referred to me as one of them guys, I mean, it just came off kind of, it hurt me, man. Because I believed in you enough to come on your show and share my life story. I ain't did that with nobody, dude. And then for them rubes to bash me, and you refer to me as one of them guys, it hurt me, dude. Nothing to do with Georgia.
Okay, Legend, let me say this. I will give you a lot of credit because you have said things on this show that I know were painful. But it also, I think, by you talking about your past, I think it helped all of us understand, what redemption and rehabilitation is all about. So I do remember that. I'm not acting like I didn't say that. I say pretty much everything I'm accused of saying, but I want you to know that it was There's no excuse for it, except I just said it, and I am sorry about that. I didn't. My goal is not to hurt people that call in this program.
Well, I hate to say it. I hate to say it, but your opinion of me does matter. You know, I mean, it matters, and it just hurt me, man.
Well,
it ain't got nothing to do with Georgia, and nothing to do with Jim. Jim's a friend of mine, because I don't like having enemies, Paul. And that's what else I want to tell you. If you think for a minute that Gary, I'm not talking about the legend, because I have fun with the legend. It's just fun to me. The fact that I'm a fan and I'm upset that I didn't win, so the hell what? I'm a fan. That's what fans do. We throw remotes. I've lost two or three women because they couldn't stand to be around me during the Alabama game because I'll throw the remote out the damn window. You know, I mean, I'm a fan. So what? You know, it's just an opinion. I don't get caught up in that. But with Gary, make no mistake about it, my friend. I wouldn't go to jail for you or anybody else. I'm just talking trash and having fun. In real life, I'm going to help anybody I can. I ain't out to see anybody get hurt in any kind of way. Sports is an escape from the bullcrap world we live in, dude, and I have fun with it. That's it. I know the difference. A lot of people don't, but Gary, I know the difference. I know the difference, brother.
Well, let me say this in conclusion, Legend. You know, we go back a long way, and you've stood up for me, and I've stood up for you, and I consider this issue closed. It's been a long week for all of us, but I am most hopeful and optimistic that whatever is going on off of this show for you can be cleared up, and you can get back to being who you've been as long as I've known you.
Well, life's a bitch sometimes, Paul. That's just the way it is, brother. But I love you. I love the show. I love all the callers. But I will say this, you know, I tried to hit the transfer portal, but all out there was Matt Murphy. Stuck with me, baby.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whether we ever spoke again, I would help you avoid that, okay?
Thank God, because I couldn't handle that fact, dude. I couldn't do it, Paul. I appreciate you, man.
You be well. You take care of yourself. Okay. Thank you so much. Daryl is up next. Hey, Daryl.
Good Lord. Is this the Dr. Phil show or is this the Paul Feinbaum show?
I don't know. Maybe we should replace Dr. Phil.
I bet he is feeling bad after that 29 beatdown in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I bet he is feeling bad. Here we go. Here comes the excuses. Why does he even worry? I actually listened to that, okay? Them guys were funny, okay? Especially about Joe from Red Bay. That was absolutely hilarious. But why would he even care what them guys say? I mean, they're probably tired of the SEC kicking their ass in football. Who's their football team out there, Paul? Boston College? I mean, is that who it is in Massachusetts? I don't even know if they are UMass or who is.
They don't have a college football team up in Boston. They have
the
Patriots. So.
Ever since Doug Flutie left there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just probably jealous because, I mean, hey, you know, we all know that greatness lives in the South, so whatever. But, you know, good to hear. I knew he wouldn't be gone long, Paul. I knew he wouldn't be gone long. He'd be back. I mean, they might stray away, but they always come crawling back. I've done it myself. I know how it works. But I would say this about Legend. I'm about to give him a new nickname of him complaining about people calling him stupid. Do you think he was Einstein? Because I'm going to start calling him Weinstein with all that crying he was doing. But, hey, just take it like a man. I mean, it was our turn to win. Finally, you won the last seven. And, you know, we went out there and got the job done. I mean, I will say this. I saw the press conference with Nick Saban and those two players. And, I mean, much respect for Saban. I thought like the way he handled that, how he held those two players there, and, you know, and what he said about them guys, I mean, that just, you know, that was a class act, I thought. He did try to cover up him and Kirby and having an issue, and you know, they all buzz and all that kind of fun stuff. But good, the Legend is back. I knew he wouldn't be gone long. I mean, welcome back, Gary. Welcome back. But don't come here with a bunch of excuses. You know, you got beat down in the fourth quarter, 29. Football will be back in 8 months, and it'll be all good again. But until then, the king resides in Athens, Legend. Don't forget that. The king. Because Kirby ain't going nowhere, baby. I mean, you're in the back seat now. We're driving the bus. You know what I mean? Kirby ain't going nowhere. He's going to continue to recruit. He's going to continue to coach. And we ain't going to stop until we send Nick into retirement. See you, Paul.
We are going to take a short break. Harry Lyles Jr. will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. It's always great to talk to Harry Lyles Jr. It's been a while, but now that the CFP is over, we're reconnecting. Harry, good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. How's it going?
Well, I don't know. It's been quite a week here on the program, as you may or may not have been able to tell by listening, but we do want to get your reaction to that. But first, the story today by Jim Phillips essentially leaving the CFP expansion in the road as roadkill. What is your reaction to the fact that the playoff has literally gone off the road from 6 months ago when it was a sure thing, maybe even if playoff expansion, maybe even in 2 years?
Yeah, it's quite a place we've gotten to, right? Because I believe you and I were together at SEC Media Days when we found right. out about Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC. And, you know, up to that point, we were like, all right, well, yeah, like the expansion is going to happen and things like that. To where we're at now is stark. And, you know, I've been on the phone all day, but I managed to see some of Jim Phillips' comments. And, you know, while I agree there's other things in the game that are changing right now and the landscape's kind of up in the air, you know, I don't know necessarily that that's why, you know, he and his conference would not want to see expansion happen. I just, like, it doesn't seem to me like a solid enough reason given where we were 6 months ago to where we are now. That all of a sudden we just don't want to do this anymore.
And Harry, I know if you're a fan of the SEC, and we have a few watching right now, you probably don't care. you feel like you're good. You're guaranteed.
Yeah.
And you probably are. Maybe 1 year it won't happen, but most years it will, if not every year. But what does this look like around the country? I mean, you travel coast to coast. What is the rest of the college football world's view of where we are right now?
Yeah, I can't imagine if you're not basically either in the SEC, Big Ten, and even sometimes, I guess, the ACC, depending on the year, like that you don't want the expansion just because, you know, given what we've seen year in and year out the past, you know, arguably at least two decades, right, where the SEC is constantly going to, at the very least, be in the title conversation. You know, I think that right now people are kind of using the expansion of the playoff, you know, and whether we need it or not to kind of fit whatever narrative you might be pushing. But like to me, you know, if you are a fan of an SEC team, I don't think you necessarily really care whether it happens or not, because, you know, as we've seen, like there's going to be at least one seat at the table for the conference in the playoff. I also don't think that, you know, having an expanded playoff is going to change the teams that we have in the sport. I know that a lot of people are arguing that, well, it'll help create better parity, but I personally don't buy that. I don't know about you, but like, you know, this is just kind of the way the sport's gone. And I guess the only real difference with Alabama here is they kind of took the whole winning titles in chunks thing, at least under Nick Saban, to a different level where we've seen the greatest dynasty in the sport now. And now if you're a Georgia fan, you're hoping that, hey, like at the very least, maybe we could string a couple off like Clemson. And then obviously the big dream, right, is becoming the next Alabama. So, I mean, but for the rest of the country, I think that you undoubtedly want to see the expansion just so you can at least have some sort of greater hope, I guess, at the beginning of the year that you would be able to make it to the championship game.
Talking to Harry Lyles Jr., a staff writer, of course, for ESPN. Harry, just on what happened Monday night, you know, Kirby Smart ascending and Nick Saban, you know, it's hard to, you know, devalue the greatest coach of all time. He's now lost, what, three championship games since the 2016 season. Belichick has lost a few. I mean, it just come when you're in there every year, you're probably not going to win every one, although we're conditioned to thinking he can. Just describe what you think may be going on in college football right now.
You know, it's – I'm not sure. Like, I feel like – like just generally, at least from Alabama's perspective, I don't think, and I mean, I don't know that there is a whole lot of concern. You could obviously tell me better, you know, given, you know, who tunes into your show every day. But to me, like, you know, Alabama's still there, right? I think the thing with Georgia was kind of proving to us that you can win the big one. They've won the big one. And now from here on out, it's going to be like, okay, well, what's your longevity? Like, what's this going to look like for you in the future? Is there multiple titles in your future? Which I think there very well could be, obviously. But, you know, I thought this was one of the most interesting Nick Saban years in recent memory, just because, you know, I think a lot of us feel like this is one of his better coaching jobs. And honestly, to me, it says a whole lot that, you know, we're saying, or some have said, I certainly didn't think this, but that it was a down year for Alabama when it's like, hey, they're still in the title game. And, you know, probably half the people in the world before, you know, Monday thought that they could win it, which I think just to me speaks volumes about what he's done. I mean, that's to me one of the greatest compliments you could give Nick Saban in Alabama. But, you know, I think that it would probably be good here to see. Obviously, Georgia's story was great with everything. Stetson Bennett, that just incredible, incredible defense, which I would also like to add, I don't necessarily buy that the first half of that title game was boring, just because, my goodness, the absolute athleticism and speed and talent on both defenses to me was entertaining. And then obviously we got the second half that we got. But, you know, I am very interested to see how this is moving forward. Obviously, you know, Georgia and Alabama don't look like they're going anywhere. A&M's recruiting at a high level. So, you know, if you're a fan of the SEC, it's a good time for you right now.
Harry, you're in touch with a lot of the young players who play, and I'm curious, not to broad brush it, but just if you could give us a composite thought on what they are thinking after the first season of NIL.
You know, I've talked to a bunch of different guys that it affects in different ways, and to me, you know, one of the interesting guys that I spoke with was Rossum Kazadi. He is a defensive back at SMU. And for him, you know, he talked to me about this, and he does a lot of artwork, right? He does a lot of great paintings, drawings, things of that nature. And for him, his big takeaway was a lot of people think that, you know, this is all about the money, when he's like, now that I'm able to profit off of my artwork, my hobby, my craft, it's less about the money, because now I don't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I don't have to worry about meals, things like that. But then obviously, like, there are the extreme cases where, you know, we heard that Bryce Young made X amount of dollars, and obviously that's an extreme case, and there's going to be other guys where it doesn't affect at all. But to me, you know, a lot of the things that people try to say about, oh, well, it can create division in locker rooms and things like that, I don't think that that has a whole lot of merit. I understand some concerns, but to me, I mean, it seems like a very basic right that, you know, it's not even to me like an athlete thing. I mean, that should just be any student of any university should be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. You know, one of the examples that a lot of the track athletes that I've spoken with, they're like, hey, like the same way that like the music students can make money off of their music, or like I should be able to like run a camp and like make a few bucks off of that. So to me, it seems harmless. And I think that honestly, the NCAA has been fine with it, and so far hasn't really put any super strict rules on it, because they would prefer this as opposed to actually finally getting around to paying the players out of their own pocket.
Harry Lyles Jr., always good to have you on. Thank you very much, Harry. We're heading to a break. We still have Sam Pittman in the next hour. Outstanding coach from Arkansas. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back on a Friday afternoon. It has already been a program to remember. Mea culpas, apologies, tears, trains,
group hugs,
and Shannon. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? Bundle up this weekend. Now that bad weather's coming in. Make sure you don't get froze out.
Yeah, we just got back from the grocery store.
Hey,
there was nothing left.
My loaf of bread today. I'm good to go. Hey, Paul, I was rewatching the national championship game, and I was really struck by the moment between Saban and Kirby when they hugged after the game. And
yeah.
Saban told Kirby, you know, y'all never would have beat us if Mechie and Williamson hadn't been hurt.
I was surprised he said that with microphones nearby, weren't you?
I was, you know. And he also said, you know, if you had the two scores up together, we'd beat y'all by two.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a touchy moment. You know, Paul, I had this offensive line coach when I was in high school. He used to always say, it ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. You ever heard that expression?
I have.
Yeah, so I think what's really going on with these Alabama folks, Paul, is they realize that the end is coming, and it's sooner rather than later. They got Texas A&M to the West, who has beat them this year, and has recruited a tremendous class. And they're building something over there, Paul. And then you got Kirby in the East, who's built what he's got. And later on, you're going to have one of my favorite guys in the world, Coach Sam Pittman, on, who's building something to the North, and he gave Alabama all they wanted and then some last season. And then you got Auburn, who ain't ever afraid of Alabama, and they gave them all they wanted and then some. Plus, you got a 71-year-old coach who may not be around that much longer, Paul. I'm not saying it'll be
next year or the year after.
But it's coming.
It may be, and I'm doing the math as we talk. He has lost, what, three of the last five championship games?
And you know, the turnover and the stress of it all, Paul, and now tell me if I'm wrong, but Coach Bryant retired at, what, 69?
He retired at 69 and died a month later.
And he lost two games, and then four in his final three seasons, right?
Well, that's true.
So I just think that folks are starting to realize their worst fears coming true. I think when Kirby left and went to Georgia, there was a lot of folks that were real vocal about he'll never have what we've got at Alabama, because there was that fear of loss. You know, they had lost one of the strongest coaches, and he's built something. Now you got Jimbo and what he's doing in the West, and I think they see the end is near. May not be this season, may not be next, but it's coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, the problem, Shannon, though, and I've watched this, I've seen it with Bryant, and you're always at this point in your career, because the expectations are so high, you are fighting that. I mean, Bill Belichick is doing that. He lost in the first round of the playoff, what, 2 years ago. He didn't make them this year. What if he loses against Saturday? That's not what you expect from the greatest of all time.
And then you got coaches out there, and you know they're saying it, and there's nothing wrong with saying it. But they're talking to these big-time recruits,
sure,
and they're saying, you know, Coach Saban's not going to be around forever. You know, he's not going to be there for the long haul. You got Kirby renegotiating this deal at Georgia. He'll probably sign a 10-year deal or something like that. You know how long Jimbo's deal is at A&M. And, you know, those guys are out there preaching, hey, you've got stability here. And Coach Saban may be 2 or 3 years away from being gone, and then what's going to happen? Can you imagine the meltdown that's going to occur? This week's been rough. Can you imagine what guys like
– Shannon, I can only reference having covered it at the beginning of my career. The aftermath of Coach Bryant was a big deal, but it will be nothing compared to this, because here's why. Coach Bryant at 69 was an old man. Nick Saban at 70 is not. I mean, I know he is age-wise, but he is not from a perception standpoint. And as long as he wins, this will not be an issue. The moment that it doesn't look like he's in contention, it becomes a big problem.
Well, you know, if you look at what's going on in the portal this week, a lot of guys in the portal for Alabama. Now, I'm not saying that's not happening in other places, too, but it's a little more unusual to see it there. And then you got the three offensive receivers to play.
Shannon, hate to run. We are up against the break. Sam Pittman coming up in a few minutes. More of your phone calls on a Friday afternoon.